Hotline and bring in our special guest for the 5 o'clock hour, Kent Summers from the Arizona Republic. He covers the Cardinals and he does a great job doing it. Kent, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing awesome. We love to hear about BYU football players, and it sounds like you got a couple of them down there. You had actually three. Solo Kafu was a part of the bunch, too, getting a mini camp tryout. Let's start with him. Were you able to hear anything about Solo Kafu? According to his agent, he's still on the hot list for the Cardinals. He was not signed over the weekend, but he came in as a guard slash nose tackle. Did you get to get your eyes on Solo Kafu at all?
No, I didn't. And it's awful hard to judge the big guys in something like this where they're just kind of running around in shorts. It's more flag football than anything else. You can sort of evaluate receivers and quarterbacks and defensive backs, but it's awful hard the closer you get to the ball.
We heard, you know, through the grapevine and then also through your tweets that Alani Fua and Paul Asike looked really good these last couple days. What makes you say that? What are the coaches saying, and what have they done to kind of stand out?
Well, just that. You know, Fua there, you know, I know he played outside linebacker, I believe, at BYU. They're moving him inside, even though he's 6'4", 6'5", maybe a little taller than an ideal size, but he impressed them in a couple of practices. He hurt his foot, and he's going to be out a couple of weeks, but they really, really like him. And, you know, he's probably got, if he continues on this track, a decent shot of making this team. They don't have a lot of depth at inside linebacker, and it's a real need. So if he can show anything through the summer and early fall, he might have a shot at this team.
Ken, I was talking to Alani right after the draft was over. We had a couple of calls from different teams, and the Cardinals said that he had a pretty good chance of making the team, that he was going to be competing competing against guys that were undrafted free agents like himself. Who are those undrafted free agents, and what are their skill sets, and how do they compare to Alani?
Well, you know, they've just been hampered that those two positions by injury and, you know, the suspension of Darrell Washington. You know, Kevin Minter, a second-round pick a couple of years ago, hasn't been healthy. You know, you're looking at guys like Glenn Carson, who was made the team as a rookie free agent a year ago, Kenny Demons, who made the team as a rookie free agent 2 years ago out of Michigan. They haven't played very much or hardly at all in the base defense. They've been mostly special teams guys. So they're still looking to make their mark. They're still looking to prove that, you know, they can be, you know, somewhat of a role player in this defense. So it gives a guy like a rookie this year, it gives them a solid chance just because this team has some holes there at those spots.
You mentioned that Alani Fu is playing some inside linebacker. Is he also playing outside linebacker? He played in a 3-4 defense at BYU, and he was typically an outside linebacker. He also played some nickel back, and he was in coverage a lot because of his athleticism, hip swivel, change of direction. But is that what you're seeing? What position are they putting him at right now?
Yeah, they're starting him, I mean, beginning his career as an inside linebacker. That's how they view him. And they're 3-4. If he can play that one inside spot, the weak inside backer, and be an every down player, you know, in the past they've used that person in a variety of roles, as a cover person, as a blitzing linebacker, in a lot of different ways. So, you know, they've had really athletic guys there before. And, you know, Carlos Dansby played there a couple of years ago, who's, you know, a similar size, probably a 6'3", 6'4" guy. So that's how they're viewing him now. I mean, things could always change, you know, if some other people emerge at the inside spots or they have weaknesses on the outside. But inside is his best chance. They drafted a couple of outside linebackers. They bet a couple of other young ones on the roster that they're really excited about. So that's his best shot if he can make that transition to the inside spot.
That's interesting. I mean, we've been talking about outside linebacker. We're looking at who was drafted, and the Cardinals did draft an outside linebacker, I believe, in this draft. Who was that they drafted, by the way, Kent?
They drafted two of them. They drafted a Marcus Golden from Missouri in the second round that they're very high on, and they drafted in the fifth round Jack Riddick from West Virginia, who had a lot of sacks last year in his only year at West Virginia. So they're really encouraged by those two guys. But that's a weakness for this team, too. They don't have a lot of proven outside pass rushers, and they're sort of throwing a lot of bodies at those spots, hoping they get lucky and find someone.
It's interesting. As we've talked with former BYU football players that have made it to the NFL, most of their thought came from, as far as Alani's position was concerned, was to put more weight on Alani and actually move him to like a defensive end spot. Mm-hmm. Do you foresee anything like that happening? Has there been any talk or rumbling about doing something like that?
It is so early. I mean, they basically looked at him over 3 days. You know, so who knows with these young guys? I mean, position changes could always come about, and this staff under Bruce Arians, one of its strengths have been finding out what a player can do well and sort of, you know, fitting him in that mold and allowing him to do those things. So we'll see, but they, like I said before, they have such a need at the inside spots. That's where he's going to begin his career.
Kent Summers from the Arizona Republic on with us here, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960.
Kent, with Alani being in a boot for the next couple of weeks, do you think that's going to hurt his chances at all? We talked about earlier when a guy like Alani who's undrafted, I mean, you really need those reps. They're really, really valuable. Do you think this is going to really hurt his chances of showcasing his talent, his ability, and making this team?
It doesn't help. I mean, it was promising later in the day when I heard it was only going to be a couple of weeks. And if that's all it is, then I think he'll be okay, but it's a critical time for rookies, you know, under the collective bargaining agreement, you know, that they came to 4 years ago. They're able to, you know, veterans are limited in how much they can work during the week, but rookies not so much. And this staff has done a pretty good job of getting rookies out there and getting them extra time. And, you know, after veterans go home for the day, it's not unusual for them to keep rookies out on the field an hour or two longer. So, you know, he's missing that kind of work, and they run a complicated defensive system that, you know, is probably way more complicated than any of these guys ran in college. And to, you know, and for a guy who's making a position change, it's even, you know, even more difficult. So as long as it's only a couple of weeks, I think he'll be fine. I don't know the kid. If he's a bright kid and can keep up on the classroom work, etc., he should be fine.
Give us an update on Paul Lasique. What have you heard about his story at all, about being a former national champion in rugby, moving over to the football field? He's kind of a unique background, a unique story.
Yeah, in fact, one of the coaches today said they were amazed at, you know, how he could sort of flip the football for about 30 yards underhanded. Pretty amazing. They are intrigued by him. You know, he's a big physical guy. They're viewing as a fullback. You know, the problem there is in Bruce Arians' system, he doesn't use a fullback, you know, a true fullback all that much. I mean, they use a tight end as an H-back, et cetera. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what role they see him in and you know, how he fits. They did have problems last year in short yardage situations, both, you know, not having a physical running back to pick up that tough yardage. So, you know, they sort of view him as that. It's really hard, though, with these undrafted guys, you know, to really say for sure what role they might have. I mean, I think coaches are just finding out about them, too.
Kent Summers from the Arizona Republic on with us here, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. So this is a position that that they haven't used in the past, fullback position. And I know they probably haven't implemented a whole lot of the offense, but has Paul been in like the I formation at all? Is it mostly just drills? Is there any like 11 on 11 work that's being done right now in camp?
A little bit, but it's all, you know, the only pads are helmets. That's the only thing that's allowed right now. So it's hard to tell. They don't use a lot of I formation. They do use some as a lead blocker, you know, but that hasn't really been Bruce Arians' MO. But I suppose if he finds the right player, he could always change his mind. And like I said before, they've been pretty good at molding their schemes around the talent that they have.
Ken, what are some of the things that Paul has done these last few days to really stand out and impress the coaching staff?
Just, you know, how he looks and how he moves for a guy that size, you know, something, you know, like 5'11", 230, 235, you know, and I think they like his toughness, and they're really intrigued to, you know, later this summer when training camp starts, to see him in pads.
What's the level of optimism right now for Cardinals fan? I'm actually from Glendale, Arizona. I grew up a Cowboys fan because the Cardinals were just so bad. Right? Cardinals were like my second favorite team growing up in the 80s and 90s.
Fan.
I know. Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, you go and they'd lose game after game. So, you know, they finally had some success. But what's the level of optimism like heading into this next season for Cardinals fans?
Well, pretty high. I mean, things started to change in 06 when they moved into the stadium and you know, it was a nicer place to see a game. The team started having some success in 08 and 09 going to the playoffs. And then some down years. But under Bruce Arians, you know, they've won 10 and then 11 games, the most games, and, you know, ties the team record for most games in a consecutive season one. And they've got a lot of people back, especially on offense. And if they can keep, they really thought if Carson Palmer had stayed healthy last year, that was a team that could make a Super Bowl run. So people are pretty excited about this team. Things have changed a lot in how Arizona fans view this team over, you know, I'd say it's changed a ton over the last decade or so.
I want to talk a little bit about a former BYU quarterback and a former Cardinals quarterback that's gone through some struggles down there in Arizona, Max Hall. You know, what has the community how has the community reacted to the news last year, and how have they rallied around Max and in the community to kind of help him through his struggles?
You know, it's hard to say. I obviously, probably like people there, everyone here who knew him knows him were taken aback by the you know, the trouble he got into, and I haven't really heard what's going on with his situation now. And I think probably, you know, in this community, most people here knew him as the guy who played quarterback for the Cardinals for such a short time. I don't know that there's a lot of people who feel, you know, like they know Max Hall. And I think, you know, once he left the Cardinals, and especially once he got in trouble, I don't know that, you know, he was in the forefront of many people's minds. Certainly not like he would have been, say, if he played at Arizona State or something like that.
Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts on how Max Hall's career went down there in Arizona? I mean, for a time he was somewhat of a hero, beating Drew Brees, and you know, I think at Arizona Cardinals Stadium there at what is it? Now I'm forgetting the University of Phoenix Stadium. He ends up getting a concussion on that particular play that the Cardinals ended up scoring on to go ahead, but. How did you view that whole Max Hall ordeal, and how has his career ended and how it went there?
It was really interesting when he came here, when he signed with them as an undrafted rookie, and in training camp, coaches were just thrilled. In fact, they were sort of trying to talk to reporters about not writing about Max Hall because they thought they would have to, you know, release him, and they wanted to put him on the practice squad, and they thought if too many people read how well he was doing that they, you know, another team would claim him. But he ended up making the team, and as you said, he ended up starting, and he just proved too small and too frail to really take the pounding of the NFL. And, his, you know, he needed a stronger arm. He had some bad luck with
with hits and concussions. I think he suffered those before he learned that, you know, you can't take off and run and do certain things at the NFL level that you could do at the college level without, you know, without suffering serious injury. And, you know, he just got so banged up that year, and there was just no one really thought he could take the pounding of an NFL season. And like I said, I think, you know, the questions about his arm strength kind of came to the forefront, and that's sort of where it ended here in Arizona and in the NFL.
That's intriguing what you just said about the practice squad and how the coaching staff wanted to handle Max initially. They kind of wanted to keep him on the back burner, and it sounded like they wanted to develop him and put him there on that, you know, stash him on the practice squad. Was he thrown to the Wolves maybe a little bit too early in his career due to the lack of depth with the Arizona Cardinals quarterback situation?
Yeah, no question. And there were several quarterbacks like that in that era, you know, after Kurt Warner retired, and they were just searching for someone to take over. You know, Warner retired a year earlier than they thought he would, and they were sort of caught off guard. And, you know, both free agents and youngsters, they threw them out there, and it didn't come through. I mean, you can go through a long line of guys from, you know, Derek Anderson to Ryan Lindley to John Skelton to, you know, Kevin Cobb, et cetera. I mean, I think they started six or seven different quarterbacks in a couple of years after Kurt Warner retired. And, you know, maybe if Max Hall could have been on the practice squad and played, you know, had two or three years and played later, you know, maybe the story would have been differently. But he was also very, very cocky and very sure of himself that he could play and contribute right away. I mean, some of the veterans on this team were really kind of taken aback about how confident he was in himself for a guy who, you know, even though he had such a great college career, wasn't drafted and you know, really wasn't expected to contribute much.
That's Max Hall.
That definitely is Max. We both had an opportunity to play with Max, and you know, that's how he carried himself, which is great. The electricity and definitely.
Well, you knew you could win with him.
Oh yeah.
Like somehow, someway, he'd find a way to win, even if it was getting concussed and fumbling the football. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It doesn't matter. Ken, one last question for you. You know, with Max Hall and Alani Fua and some of the BYU guys, I know Andrew Rich, safety that I played with in 2010, got picked up. Is there starting to be a pipeline forming for the Arizona Cardinals and the BYU football team?
I think they would like that. They're all for it. You know, I think they're intrigued by some of the prospects. They haven't really had anybody in a while make it. You know, I remember when Andrew Rich came to training camp, they were very optimistic about him, and he had a real chance to make the team and then decided not to play. You know, and yeah. It was kind of mysterious. You know, everybody was a little taken aback. So far, you know, no one's really been able from BYU's really been able to stick and make an imprint with these guys. So, you know, we'll see. They've certainly had their share come through here, but you know, and that said, it's not like they've drafted anybody from BYU in the top three rounds where you look at it and think, whoa, that guy's been a real bust. I mean, most guys that have come here have been either low round picks or free agents.
Well, one thing's for certain. You guys like old guys there, like Kurt Warner and Carson Palmer, and I mean, I guess just in the quarterback position. But, you know, let me ask you this. Everyone talks about how the reason why you don't recruit a BYU guy is because he's probably served a mission. He's 2 years older, 2 years more of, you know, potential wear and tear. Do you ever hear any of that rhetoric coming out of the NFL coaches' mouths down in Arizona?
No, you know, I've never heard that. I think it would all depend upon the position, and too, it's not like those guys are spending 2 years away from home getting beat up on playing a game. You know, I mean, it's a little bit different than that. I haven't really heard that. I you know, I tend to think it at most of the positions it might even be an asset. You know, you're getting a more mature guy who's lived on his own, maybe, knows what he wants, and you know, you don't have to worry about him off the field or any of those things. I haven't noticed you know, I haven't talked to other scouts around the league about it, but I have never gotten that feeling from Cardinals people that they're that the age scares them away at all.
Kent, we appreciate you coming on with us to give you or to give us and the fans an update on Paul and Alani, and thanks for breaking down also the Max Hall situation. I learned a ton.
Okay, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, we'll do it again soon. Thanks, Kent.